I'm David Hatcher, EG's Head of Content, and I'm here with Mark Rose and Jason Sibthorpe of Avis & Young, and also by Miles Martin of Wilkinson Williams, now also part of Avis & Young. Guys, many congratulations on the new deal. That you sprung that one on us from out of the blue. Mark, what's the rationale behind the deal for you guys?
Well, we are a fairly methodical 2x5x5 company, meaning we have two client sets, owners and occupiers, five service lines and five product types. And Miles and his team fit into the product types of retail and the capital market space. And we're just excited about expanding our offerings and capabilities.
And Jason, the Wilkinson Williams deal in particular, is it something that you've been eyeing up for some time? Is it sort of, how's the love affair and the flirting been going on behind the scenes? How long have you been keeping this from us?
I think it's fair to say the conversation has been bubbling along quite nicely for a period of time since back in 2017. It's been a very engaging conversation. What's been fantastic is when we speak to these businesses, we're trying to identify existing businesses with partners that are looking to find an opportunity to join a bigger business and continue being partners. And the beauty of becoming part of Avis & Young is you join a much larger business, you then have 400 partners working alongside you. So it's been a long conversation to an extent, but a very engaged one, and we're delighted with the outcome.
And was retail and sort of retail investment something you were targeting in particular, and why?
So we have the aspiration to grow this UK business significantly across all disciplines, sectors, service lines, etc. So retail is one of the areas of growth for us, and this was an opportunity that came up. So it was being blunt, a no-brainer. When you have the ability to acquire a business that is formally recognised as number one in their space, I think for the last 7 years, it makes it a very simple dialogue to have. So yes, retail is on the agenda in terms of our growth, but so are whole number of other sectors and disciplines.
Miles, another mighty niche firm has been swallowed up, something of an ongoing trend. How does it feel sort of having been a niche firm and one of the most sort of reputable and best known for such a long time to now be sort of selling out?
Well, I think We're hoping, we don't know yet, of course, but we're hoping that it's not going to feel too different for us on the ground. We've been attracted by the fact that there's no UK retail presence within the AY business at the moment, and therefore we will be able to slot in as a unit in our own right. And it's true to say that we've been, obviously the retail world is changing an awful lot at the moment, as is the advisory business, we think. We recognised that we needed to change probably quite a lot whether we stayed independent or not. It's quite a challenge in a partnership that's very sort of, not set in its ways, but you know, we've had most of our partners been with us a long time to instigate that change. And we were either going to have to merge with someone else, or do it with someone else, or do it ourselves. And this was an opportunity which would allow us to change what we do slightly, provide the other services which we think clients are going to want, but do it within an organisation which is going to allow us to operate very much as we do at the moment, and still allow us to give us the levels of service which we think are really important, which differentiate a lot of the niche businesses from a lot of the big corporates.
Just to pick up on some of the things that you were talking about in terms of running a niche business, what do you think are the pressures that niche businesses are coming under at the moment? Is it sort of running, keeping costs down, shared costs, that sort of thing, regulation?
I don't think if you've got a successful niche business, the costs aren't the biggest issue at all. I think increased regulation, increased requirement to provide clients with additional data, information, research is really important, and that's something which we struggle a bit with against some of our bigger competitors. And I think there will always be a place for a small niche business if they're good. I think the market is growing, is changing with most big players, big institutions, big REITs, really operating on a more bigger corporate landscape and being less impressed with the niche players. So I think if you can be a part of a bigger operation which can provide other services, and also give a greater level of insight and knowledge on other bits of the business and other sectors, then I think you've got a better chance.
Jason, I suppose there's one area, despite how, if there was one area of the UK property market, despite how brilliant Wilkinson Williams are as a firm, that you might not buy a niche firm at the moment. It might be retail. What gives you the confidence in the retail market and the expectation that there's going to be sort of volumes to justify doing a transaction like this?
Undoubtedly, retail is perhaps the most challenged sector globally, not just within the UK. But no matter how much those challenges exist, the reality is there's always a market as well. And you can't ignore how polarised the market is, and there are different elements of the retail market which continue to be stronger than others. And I think the space that Wilkinson Williams have operated in continues to be reasonably robust. But ultimately, it's about the talent. If you have the right people giving the right advice, in fact, the tougher the market gets, the more that top talent will be approached by the clients. So we are extremely comfortable and confident that we've got the very best in the business, and they will continue to serve their clients. And we hope that what we can now do is wrap some more infrastructure around them and also seek to take that business and grow it further and broaden that capability and offer across the UK, and indeed look at international coverage as well.
And I suppose just because there's elements of distress and concern in the retail market doesn't mean that there won't be that any transactions. You know, it means, you know, you see Hammerson put up for sale a £1 billion retail park portfolio. There's, you know, got to be opportunities like that.
No matter what distress is, there will always be transactions. I think there is a school of thought starting to emanate in the market now that we're getting close to a buying opportunity as well. Pricing, I think, has been an issue for a little while now in terms of the buyers versus the sellers. There's always going to be transactions. That there may be less transactions, but again, the amount of transactions that the best operators are advising on will probably be reasonably consistent, because that's where the clients will move towards to get their advice.
Mark, what's the just taking a step back for the moment, what's the view of the sort of UK market from the other side of the pond at the moment? Is it seen as volatile, providing opportunities? You know, what's the sort of big picture looking a little bit further afield?
Yeah, sure. You know, in terms of the commercial real estate markets, you know, in terms of the biggest sandboxes in the world, you look at Manhattan and London. So that puts the UK and the US, you know, in play here. There's tremendous opportunities. There's tremendous stability. And quite frankly, you know, the question that you just asked Jason and Miles about retail, our clients invest in retail. They invest in office and industrial and multifamily and hospitality. And that's not going away. And one of the opportunities that came about, if you think about this, you know, was post-Brexit, when everyone was wondering what would happen next. But you have the fifth largest economy in the world. You have to trade with it. Retail needs to be traded in and leased. It's a matter of, you know, the cycles that you go through. But in terms of the UK market, you know, itself, especially coming out of Brexit, has been as strong and stable, you know, along with Germany, that's doing incredibly well on the continent. These are places that North American investors would like to invest in. And quite frankly, investors here want to be in those places. And we're just matching everybody up right now.
I can't help but mention that annoying B word. To what extent is Brexit in the minds of you guys when you're making those business decisions from the other side of the Atlantic?
Other than opportunity, there's no other thoughts.
And why? Why not?
I was actually here on the day of the vote and wrote a blog, I think, that afternoon, that this was going to be the greatest non-issue, you know, since Y2K, which pretty much played out a week later. When you have a large economy, you have to be trading with it. That's why, you know, you're looking at what's going on between the President of the United States and China and all of the rhetoric. Ultimately, you know, the two top economies have to trade and everyone else. And that does allow for that dislocation or that interruption in people's thought process. And those who get scared usually get left behind. we choose to seize the moment in terms of if there is a little bit of volatility, that's where we want to come into.
And Jason, you've done this and your UK expansion broadly by buying businesses. Can you talk us through sort of how it's gone so far? You've bought Northray Saunders, was obviously an eye-catching deal. How's the bolting together been going?
It's going well, without a doubt. We're making good progress. We have fantastic ambition to continue to grow significantly. We see no reason why we can't achieve 100 million plus turnover in pretty short order. The big challenge for us isn't necessarily so much identifying partners that wish to come and join us. It's to then ensure that when we do those deals that we have absolutely effective integration, and those people land, and they land well, and they understand the culture and how we're looking to drive this business forward, how we're looking to create a point of difference in how we operate internally and are viewed externally by our clients. And what gives us great confidence, if you look at how Avis & Young has grown, going back to Mark's point about Brexit and opportunity, since 2009, so post 2008, that's where the incredible amount of growth has occurred across North America, in initially very challenging economic circumstances. So whilst Brexit, of course, is an issue for us and brings a level of uncertainty, we have the ability to look at the opportunity that then throws up and ensure that we have intelligent growth and make sure that every single time we do grow and we acquire a business or organic growth, whatever it might be, every single time we're ensuring we have a plan A in place and we won't consider plan B.
And you sort of spoke about integration. Can you talk us through a bit more about the practicalities of that? What do you do to make sure when you buy a business you're really linking them in culturally, contractually? I don't know.
So there's two school of thoughts. You can put together a very formal infrastructure and have your 100-day plan and have a tick box exercise and make sure everybody is adhering to that tick box exercise. There's elements of that which absolutely are fundamental and critical to that integration and the success of the ongoing business from both sides. But ultimately, it's about the people, it's about the culture, it's about how we integrate, looking into each other's eyes, being perfectly blunt, how we, the people in Manchester, the people in Coventry, the people in London, they all get to meet and understand what Glide can offer, and I do apologise, what Wilkinson Williams can offer and vice versa. And that's how the integration develops. It's marrying up the right people within the business and just ensuring, as I say, that landing upon arrival is soft and harmonious.
Miles, you're the one being integrated or about to be integrated. What's important to you sitting on the other side of the fence, sort of looking into sort of day one, two? What do you think needs to be sort of really important in terms of integration?
Well, inevitably, there's a good deal of sort of fairly basic integration required for systems and so on and so forth. And Jason and I have been rather busy the last 10 days trying to get all this sorted out. But that's not that complicated. And then obviously, as being part of a larger organisation, some things will change. But I'm hoping and I believe, and from what I've seen of the OI business and spoken to other principals in the company, they're buying a group of people and a culture within our business, it would be rather foolish if they wanted to buy us and then completely change the way we do everything. That was one of the attractions, probably the principal attraction actually of AY to us. I've always been asked by members of our team and clients, would we ever consider selling the company to someone else? And I've always said I'll never say no, but I could never see anyone who we would want to work with. And we have had discussions and approaches, but I we would not have joined someone, some of the big, the big corporate names in the global market, just at all, because we didn't want to be subsumed by something which is very different to what we are at the moment. We don't see that AY are very different to what we are at the moment. So that bit should be, I think, quite easy. What we're hoping is that, there are other bits of advice or strands of advice we want to give, greater breadth, both globally and across other subsectors in retail and leisure.
Which ones are you targeting in particular?
Well, I think my view is that the retail advisor needs to be a retail advisor, and it isn't necessarily an out-of-town retail advisor at all. It's understanding the full retail dynamic in a market, which we understand really well. And ultimately, I think, you know, it's been a frustration to me that we haven't been able to branch out more, because we know all the retailers, we know them really well, and there are other, you know, obviously other parts of subsectors of retail which we should be operating in, not least retail distribution, which is you know, basically a part of retail, and you know, our plan, and Jason and I have talked about it, is to look to broaden our scope of services and skills, to give a client a more all-round service. So you know, I think that level of integration, and also with, you know, I was speaking to a client yesterday talking about, you know, retail trends in North America. Now, you know, we will be able to pick up the phone and get on a plane and go and see someone and go and see some real estate in the States.
So that in part sounds like you're going to be working closely with the logistics team.
Well, I'm hoping that that's one thing that we will be looking at. As I say, the head of the head of property in most retailers does logistics as well as stores. So we know them all. And we think there's a big part of the business going forward.
Makes a lot of sense. Jason, in terms of, there's an expectation that you will continue to grow through acquisition. Are there any particular areas, geographies that you think we should be keeping an eye on next?
All of them, without giving you too much detail. But look, we are still relatively new to the UK. We only landed here in 2014. We've seen some pretty strong growth, particularly over the last 18 months, and getting Wilkinson Williams completed will be another significant boost forward for us. I think over the next 2 years, you will see us really push on, and we're looking across all regions. I mean, we're in Manchester. We don't have an office in Birmingham. I think that's another important hub for us at a point in time. London and coverage across the London markets undoubtedly is a priority for us, perhaps priority number one, and perhaps one of the most difficult things to deliver as well. But the aspiration is complete. We need to be a full-service real estate advisor across all sectors and disciplines, and we're very excited because we know that we have a platform, a partnership, a culture that others will find compelling.
But you do have a new London office on Savile Row.
We do have a new London
very
office
swanky
on Savile Row, so it complements our one in Soho perfectly.
Very nice too. Very nice. What, any particular sort of new water feature or anything like that?
We'll have to check the turnover hurdles, whether the budget can afford such a thing.